First, there's an ongoing effort to prevent chemicals, soil, and manure draining off of farm fields and into Wisconsin's waterways. There's a variety of methods in use, but which ones are the most effective? The Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance is looking to answer that question with the help of a new grant. They're developing a database to track different runoff protections being used near two creeks in the Kaukauna area that are connected to the Fox River. Jessica Schultz is the executive director of the Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance. Jessica, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, before we get into this new project, let's talk about what's at stake. What are we concerned about if we have soil and other pollutants running off into waterways?
Right now, our lower Fox River in the Bay of Green Bay is impaired by sediment and nutrients like phosphorus that's causing dead zones in the Bay of Green Bay and increased algal blooms, including those blue-green algae blooms that we're seeing that are very harmful to human health.
And what are some of the methods that people are using right now to try to keep all that stuff from getting into streams, rivers, and then the Great Lakes?
I think it's really important to note that runoff, polluted runoff from our landscape, not just agricultural runoff, but also urban runoff, is contributing to those problems that we're seeing in the waters. So our urban communities, we're seeing an increase of like stormwater detention basins or ponds that we're seeing in our communities, or green infrastructure projects are happening in the urban sector. And then there's a lot being done in the agricultural world as well, including like cover crops and different tillage practices. We're trying some new technologies like treatment wetlands to deal with agricultural runoff. There's so much happening right now in water quality initiatives. And so we are trying to see what is really working, what is protecting our waters.
And that takes us to this new database you've developed. What exactly are you tracking? What are you doing?
So the database that we're working on developing in conjunction with Outagamie County, Brown County, Calumet County, and Winnebago County is to track land conservation practices, mostly in the agricultural world, that are being installed on the landscape. What's going to go into this database is all the practices that are being implemented through the county land conservation departments working with the landowners and the producers in the watershed. What we're hoping to see is an impact in the water quality when we really strategically spend our dollars on the landscape.
So how will that play out in practice? What are you actually going to do to try to track that?
So in the Pullman-Kankapaa Creek watersheds, the Pullman-Kankapaa Creek watersheds are in the Kaukauna-Wrightstown area. Those watersheds have received some Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding. Just under $5 million is going into best management practices in those watersheds to install things like cover crops, to change agricultural producers' tillage practices, to put in grass waterways and buffer strips, and do some stream bank restoration. So it's going to take a whole host of practices and ultimately like a change in farm management to get to where we need to be to see the water quality improve. But we're hoping with a very strategic plan and heavy implementation focused in those two watersheds that we're going to see that water quality improve and then know the suite of practices that we need to get out on the landscape through the rest of the watershed.
Let's get up close and personal with those two creeks you mentioned, the Plum and the Kankapaa, as you said, by Kaukauna and Wrightstown. Tell us about those creeks.
Those are hardworking. That's a hardworking watershed for agricultural landscape. We chose those two creeks because those are the highest loading phosphorus and sediment to the Fox River. Those are the two highest creeks per agricultural acre. So the DNR completed a large study called a TMDL, a total maximum daily load, was completed in 2015. And that study broke out each kind of sub-watershed in the lower Fox and said, what types of landscapes are contributing to the phosphorus and sediment problem that we're seeing in the lower Fox? And out of that study, it came that the Plum and the Kankapaa Creek were the highest loading per agricultural acre. There's other watersheds that were higher loading than the Plumenkinkapot, but had more of an urban component. So because we were developing this tool for agriculture, and because there was Great Lakes Restoration Initiative funding available to do agricultural best management practices, we chose to target that Plumenkinkapot Creek. And we're glad we did. We have a lot of great partners working in that watershed. The producers that live in that area are very open to trying new conservation practices and really being part of the solution.
We're talking to Jessica Schultz, Executive Director of the Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance, talking about a new effort to promote practices in agriculture and elsewhere, trying to keep sediment and phosphorus out of waterways, and also to measure what seems to work, what gives the most results for dollars spent. And Jessica, what strikes me there about what you're talking about is how interconnected the water systems are. If we want to help the lower Fox River or the Great Lakes, we really have to look upstream, don't we?
We do. What's really great about when you think about working from a watershed perspective, our watersheds do not form to our municipal boundaries or our county boundaries. We're seeing really great partnerships being developed through all of the county land conservation departments and county governments in general. We are seeing municipalities talk back and forth with each other when it comes to urban stormwater management. It's really a partnership based upon watershed boundaries and not our lines that we've drawn for municipal boundaries.
And Jessica, you mentioned that the producers, the farmers themselves, seem to be pretty enthusiastic about trying new stuff. Talk about what you've heard from some of them.
Yeah, what we're looking at, what we're really trying to do is find those win-win solutions. We are looking for, practices that are beneficial to the farm and beneficial to our waterways. So those practices that improve soil health, like cover crops, improve the soil, ultimately increasing the yields and decreasing the input that farmers need to put in for their management practice or for the management of their farm. So we're looking for practices that are good for the farm and ultimately good for the water quality in the region. And that's where we're seeing people really get on board. It's much easier to deliver to do an ask of a conservation practice if it's not going to be bad for their farm or if it's cost effective for their farm. But it takes a while. We don't see that immediate improvement in soil health. A lot of these practices, it takes 5 to 7 years to see that change and to see it beneficial to their farm. So we need to be here as conservationists helping the producers through that the first few years where they may see a decrease in yield for their crops.
How quickly do these results show up in the water itself?
That's to be determined yet. I wish I had that answer for you. As part of our project, we are doing water quality monitoring through the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. We're doing monitoring at edge of field for some of the conservation practices, and then we're also doing monitoring in the stream for Plumenkinkapot Creeks. Like I said, we're doing heavy implementation in those two creeks so we can see how quickly it turns those streams around. And we're about 2.5 years into our project. So we're hoping that we see that turn. I can say that there's a demonstration farm network working in the lower Fox River through the NRCS and Brown County Land Conservation Department. And they have some pretty great results with their edge of field monitoring for practices. There's a video of conservation practices on one part of the field and not on another part of the field, and you can see the water quality difference leaving the part of the field that has the conservation practices on. So some things we can see immediately, and other things we're going to have patience for and hope to see the benefits in the stream and ultimately in the river and then the Bay of Green Bay.
Are you hoping to take this super up-close look at these two creeks and their watersheds, take some lessons from it, and be able to apply it elsewhere in the Fox River watershed, or even be able to export these ideas to other people?
That's definitely what we're hoping for. The GIS database tool that has been developed with funds from the Community Foundation of the Fox Valley will also help more immediately. So the conservation tracking tool that has been developed is going to aid in efficiencies of land conservation departments. What we're seeing is an increased amount of workload to our land conservation departments without an increased amount of staff. So we created this tool to help make sure that the funds that are going to land conservation departments to put practices on the ground are tracked, and a tool that will increase the verification, making sure that we're accountable for the dollars that are going out on the landscape. So that's a tool that even if we don't see the water quality response immediately, we're hoping that that tool can go out not just in the lower Fox River, but spread throughout the greater Fox Wolf Basin and ultimately the state to help with increased efficiencies in land conservation departments.
We'll leave it there for now. Jessica, thanks a lot for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's Jessica Schultz, Executive Director of the Fox Wolf Watershed Alliance. With the help of a new grant, the group is developing a database to track which methods of runoff protection, we're talking about things like phosphorus and sediment, are the most effective.